This will be the 63rd Eurovision Song Contest taking place in Lisbon. Really, really exciting. Spectacular win for Portugal last year, Salvador Sobral. Let's just take, because the last time I met you or spoke to you was just after you decided 18. Now, you've had a fab time, haven't you? You've been all over the place. You've been to Vienna, Israel.
Been to Madrid. Amsterdam was another big Eurovision in concert, which was an amazing show. It's been a busy few weeks.
Great performance on Graham Norton last week. Lots of fantastic feedback. We are right in saying this was your first live TV UK performance, especially on Graham Norton.
That was a big deal. That was a big one.
Love that dress, by the way.
Oh,
fantastic.
Thank you.
I love all your block colours. They're just wonderful. So from the You Decide 18, February, things have taken on a whole new meaning for you, haven't they? Do you think the BBC and you expected to win? Did it take you back? Did it surprise you because of all the other performances? Or did you find that...
To win in Brighton?
Yeah, to win in Brighton.
I don't think... it was such an amazing show. There were such great tracks and artists involved in the whole thing. Deep down, I knew what I could do, but I didn't expect the crowd to respond in that way and the public to overwhelmingly support me in that way. So there was no expectation of that, but it was incredibly special when it happened. And I think the BBC had put together such an amazing show from every angle. They were in a good position anyway. Whoever won, it was going to be exciting process from then on. So it's very thrilling putting this all together.
You know, the audience, you could see them all waving, and it was so euphoric when you won that it was. Your face looked so shocked, and yet deep down, I think you realised that it was a magic moment for you, especially your performance on the night. You performed twice, one to get the votes, and the second to win.
Yeah.
Now, you have obviously had fantastic experience. You've been with the Belgium contingent in 2015 and 17, so you do come with some fantastic experience, knowing what to expect. Now, you met the Belgium contingent, Loïc Natesh, Royal Academy in London. Is that where you met him?
So his musical director was from the Royal Academy of Music. So when Nicolas Dorian was working with Loïc, and then he was putting together the Eurovision entrant in 2015, he came back to the Royal Academy of Music and was hiring backing vocalists from that lot, and that's when I was recommended for the gig. So that was the connection through the conservatoire where we both studied.
So both times Belgium.
Yeah.
Fourth, the last one.
Both times.
Now we need to up the game.
Oh, I know.
We need to get there.
Bit of pressure.
Absolutely. Well, pressure, but actually, tell us a little bit about the creative team. Now, the writer for Storm is an Israeli. Gil Lewis?
Yeah, three writers. Gil Lewis, Israeli singer-songwriter. Nicole Blair, Australian singer-songwriter. And Sean Hargreaves is a Londoner.
Yeah.
And a little touch from you as well. You've contributed to this. You are a singer-songwriter in your own right. So I'm sure you would have not resisted the chance of actually putting your input into this. What is your input into the Storm song?
Well, the creative team were very kind and generous in letting me get involved, getting my hands in there, and tweaking elements of the track that I wanted to. I wanted a real string section in there. I wanted a real piano on the track. There were production elements that I wanted to widen, can we say, from a soundscape point of view. There were things in the higher ends and the lower ends that I wanted to kind of build up. The backing vocalist arrangements, I'm a control freak, as you can tell, so I just wanted to do it all, but they were very great to work with, as all the elements of the team surrounding this whole project have been.
Now, I know we haven't seen the whole performance, because the whole performance, the best performance, obviously going to be on Saturday the 12th of May.
Yes.
Not giving anything away, I know you're not, as much as I would love to know, but the creative team are all coming out with you.
Yes.
You're going to be there from the 3rd of May.
Yes.
How big is your team?
It's big and it's growing, because of course there are the wonderful creatives from sound and voice and movement and staging and lighting, but then you get the press my wonderful head of press as well, who's going out from the BBC. There'll be the executive producers who are coming on board to handle the broadcast. Obviously, we've got Rylan and Scott and Graham Norton. They're all coming out. You know, the team is really quite substantial, and that's lovely, and lots of support.
Now, I've looked on YouTube and I've looked at all the reviews, and things that go with you at the moment are you're very telegenic, you've got a strong voice, you've also got vintage quality in your voice, a very memorable song. And they also say, really interesting, they say you've also got, on the other side, a light, delicate voice. And this is the best one, Russian gymnast, strong and tough.
Amazing. I hadn't seen that one, but that's brilliant. I'll take that. I have been working out, guys, so thanks.
Now, I want to talk about this, because on all your social media, there are some fab pictures of you pumping iron.
Yeah.
Come on. Gotta tell us about this. I have to say, I do admire those arms.
Thank you very much.
They are looking wonderful.
Thanks. Working hard.
Do you think every contestant does what you do, and not only pump iron, but actually put it on social media?
There's a wave on social media where your little snippet of the gym and what you do in the gym might get more likes and attention than the music you put out, which is soul-destroying. But I do like my gym time, and I do think a lot of the artists at Eurovision are actually on the same page. It's our job to keep physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically fit, as stable as possible. And I have found that weightlifting has been hugely influential in that. Sleep and mood and energy and stamina. Our schedules are so sporadic as well, and that burst of intensity training and the endorphins that releases, I highly recommend it. I'm quite new to the weightlifting world, but I really like it.
You're new to the weightlifting? You looked fantastic. I was so gobsmacked with the weights that you were actually, you were holding them on your hips, so you were squatting backwards, if I can say that, and then you were lifting. Loved it. I love the way you put it on social media. That's what social media is all about.
Yeah.
It's actually bringing everyone into you and seeing how you're preparing, which is something I don't think Eurovision has done until now. So it's a very interesting journey, I think.
Yeah, it is. And I think, obviously, social media is always changing and evolving, and we have a choice to whether change and evolve with it or to ignore it and step away from it. And there are pros and cons to social media, but that... I mean, I'm not going to share absolutely everything, but I'm happy to share certain elements of this preparation. Yeah.
Oh, it's cool. Now, your outfits, let's just go back to your outfits.
Mm.
You are wearing some fantastic block colours.
Mm.
Are you getting help, or is this all you?
It's a bit of both. I have an incredible stylist and costume designer, Frank Strachan, who styled the BBC selection show and understood me very quickly. He got me straight away. And he's a wonderful guy, and his whole team as well. Jess is absolutely gorgeous. So they styled the video shoot and some of the photo shoots. They've designed the outfit for the main show. And then all the other promotional things where I've had to style myself has been along the same vein, because he understood me. So there was no need to kind of gel our ideas and our wardrobes. He just got it, sort of led by what I like to wear anyway.
Because you've not always been blonde. You've always you've had a lovely long brown hair.
And correct.
I mean, I love it, the way people change the wear. I just think change is good.
Yeah.
And I'm sure for you it's been just a nice sort of moment for you to think, I'm blonde, this is fantastic. Yeah. What a new beginning for me.
I always wanted to try it. I mean, it's just hair at the end of the day, and it's not huge deal to me, but I had always had shoulder lengths of brown hair for most of my life, and chopping it off and being able to change colours and have that freedom was, again, just a bit of fun.
But you're really lucky to be able to do that. Not a lot of people can do it, but your face is so beautiful that you can change anything and still look fantastic.
Thanks, Susie.
One last thing, Siri, the song Storm.
Yes.
What's the message from Storm? What do we need to get out of this? I know we've got a lot out of it, but what are you trying to get out of this one?
Hope, just a message of hope. And the lyrics can mean whatever you need them to mean on a day-to-day basis. And actually, for me, they change. I don't have a set meaning that I'm singing about each time I sing it. It's that connection with the audience and seeing a face just emotionally connected to the words of the song, and that reminder that whatever storms we're dealing with, be them national or global, it's the personal storms we carry around with on a day-to-day basis.
Mm.
And those are the ones that I just think we sometimes need that little reminder that they don't last forever. We will get through it. We will be okay. And with the same spirit of Eurovision, of coming together with kindness and love and a love of music, we can get through anything.
Well, I'm so looking forward to seeing the performance on the night. I'm going to be there anyway, so I'm going to be waving to you in the crowd. Amazing. And hopefully catching up with you then. Suri, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here today with me talking. I wish you all the best. And as I said, it's just phenomenal.